Dearly beloved, we have come together in the presence of God, our Heavenly Father, to render thanks for the great benefits that we have received at His hand, to set forth His most worthy praise, to hear His holy word, and to ask for ourselves and on behalf of others those things that are necessary for our life and salvation. O come, let us worship Him. Let us kneel and bow down before Him. Let us confess our sins with penitent hearts and obtain forgiveness by His infinite grace and mercy.
Almighty and most merciful Father, we have strayed from Your ways like lost sheep. We have followed the devices and desires of our hearts. We have offended against Your holy law. We have done those things which we should not have done, and we have not done those things which we should have done. Have mercy on us, O Lord. Spare us and restore us according to the promises declared to us in Jesus Christ our Lord. For His sake, grant that we may live a godly, righteous, and sober life to the glory of Your holy name.
The Almighty and merciful Lord has granted us pardon and forgiveness of all our sins, grace for true repentance and amendment of life, and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Shout to the Lord, all you lands.
Serve the Lord with gladness.
Come
ever shall be, forevermore. Amen. You may be seated for the reading. This week in the church here, we note Epiphany 1, you might say, the first Sunday after Epiphany, and the historic gospel reading is that of the boy Jesus in the temple. And it is often during that week when the church looks at themes that deal with the role of mother and father and parenting as Christian parents in the home. And tonight we see that reflected in our reading, taken from St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, the 6th chapter, beginning with the first verse. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Here ends the reading.
O Lord, have mercy upon us. Thanks be to you, O Lord.
Let us unite our hearts in prayer. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for the gift of Christian parents, by which you often have passed on the precious knowledge of Christ, our Lord and Savior. We thank you for those in our lives who have so wonderfully delivered your saving truth to us through patient and gentle instruction in the home. We ask that your blessing would continue to rest upon Christian homes, that they may be a haven from all of the troubles and false beliefs in this wicked world. We ask it all in Christ's saving name. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed who have been purchased and bought back to God by the suffering, death, and resurrection of his only Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. A number of years ago, a woman in a church that I was serving, a congregation I was serving, began telling me a story that happened to her when she was in high school. I believe she was about 15. And her mother, it became apparent to this young lady that her mother was having an affair. She had seen her a few times with another man, and there were other things that told her this was taking place. And she finally confronted her mom about it and talked to her. And her mother kind of didn't want to listen to her admonition. And so she began leaving little slips of paper with Bible passages and quotations on them, little sticky notes, and putting them on her mom's purse and in her wallet and different places that her mom could find this. And she said to me, what was so difficult for me during those years when this was going on was that it was such a confusion of roles for her. Here, the very one who had taught her to love Christ and his word was now in such a blatant, obvious way going against that very word she had been instructed to love by this very mother. And how difficult it was for her then as a child to reverse those roles in a sense and become the authority figure on behalf of God, using his very word to try to bring her mother to repentance and back to what her Lord would want. The role of a parent is such a wonderful role, and yet at the same time, very delicate role. And that relationship between child and parent, as reflected in the text before us tonight, is such a crucial one, which is why the Lord continually throughout Scripture has so much to say about it. In your college years, this is a stage in life when you're kind of in a transition between two roles. You've to some extent left the role of being a child, at least in the home, though you still love and respect your parents and listen to them, hopefully. But at the same time, you are now looking ahead toward the probability and possibility, and probably with hopefulness, of being a parent someday. And so the text before us, in a sense, has dual application for those in that stage of life. God has established the home and home life, you might say, as foundational to all of society. When he began creating this world, he didn't start with businesses. He didn't start with schools or with government. He didn't start with athletic teams and so on. He started with a home, and in the middle of that home, the relationship between a man and a woman, with the intent that through them, they would have children, and this is how society would ultimately go forward and so on. And so this became foundational in the Lord's establishment of his creation. And when our Lord himself, our Lord Jesus, took on human flesh, as we just celebrated at Christmas time, his incarnation, and came into this world, the Lord placed him again in the home of the humble believers of Mary and Joseph. And this home life has been designed by God in such a way that this would be the primary haven for raising children and nurturing them into adulthood and for passing on the precious gift of faith in the Savior. The fall into sin, of course, dramatically changed many aspects of life for Adam and Eve and their children and their family and all of us. We continue to live with those consequences of that fall. And yet the Lord, throughout time and throughout Scripture, continues to impress upon his faithful in this world how highly they should view these relationships of child to parent, parent to child, and that they continue to be foundational, especially now in the realm of our spiritual lives. And so throughout Scripture, God sprinkles in frequently these texts as we have before us tonight. St. Paul is writing this letter to the church in Ephesus, a church of believers that were probably under a lot of persecution. They were probably a small group of believers, and it was probably challenging and difficult for them to raise their children and to keep them in this faith. And there are passages before us like this that are, there are other passages, I should say, that the Lord writes to the Ephesians that pertain to their marriages, pertain to how they communicate with each other in their home and so on. But now very specifically, Paul says this word from God, children, obey your parents in the Lord, notice, in the Lord, not just for the sake of obedience, but this should be done as an aspect and part of your faith. For this is right, he says, it's a good thing, it's a wonderful thing when there is this obedience to them. And then he quotes that commandment we often refer to as the fourth commandment, which he calls the first commandment with a promise attached to it. Honor your father and mother that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. God would have children in this world be given the blessing of being able to look at their homes as kind of heaven's sanctuary. The word sanctuary is really from the same word we get sanctification or sanctify, to set apart as a holy place, apart from everything else. And that the Christian home where God's word is central and where Christ is placed before the children, this is to now be thought of as a beautiful safe haven and a sanctuary from what goes on in this wicked world. In general, no other institution in the world can have such a either positive or negative impact on a child's spiritual life than will their home life, and in particular then the relationship to mother and father. And you can see that in other aspects of life too. Teachers will tell you, just in the realm of schoolwork, people will tell you it probably has the greatest impact on a person's health, how their parents dealt with them and handled things. There are many places where that concept holds true, but it is certainly all the more magnified when it comes to the realm of spiritual life. When I meet someone here at Bethany who, as I discover, find out that they were not brought up in a Christian home but have come to love Christ, maybe through their adolescence and so on, that's almost shocking to us. They're very rare instances. They do happen by God's grace. And that impresses upon us, the fact that that is such an oddity impresses upon us just how significant the role is of the Christian mother and father in the home raising their children in God's word. This little sanctuary of the home is to be established and formed around the Word of God. I remember once when I was about in fourth or fifth grade, I went over to visit a friend at his house, and we sat out on the steps while their family had devotion inside. It was a summer night, and after supper, the father was reading devotions to the children, and we could hear it through the screen door. And I was sitting there with another friend, and we were going to go play baseball with one of the boys when he got done with supper and devotions. And I remember another friend came running up to the house. We were all going to meet there, and he yelled out to us, "Hey, you guys," and noisy. And my other friend stood up and yelled back at him, "Shut up, they're having church." And I always remember that, how he saw what they were doing as their own little congregation, their own little church. And Luther speaks about that often, that the role of the father, in a sense, is to be like that of a pastor in the home. And that's what our Lord is directing here as well. In my childhood, I was blessed to have Christian parents who really cared about this, and we had regular family devotions. We had an old tattered book from my grandparents, and on the cover it said, "Family Altar." And I always thought of that, that when we had our devotions, that was like our own sanctuary right there at our dining room table. And how the Word of God would direct us back in each one of those devotions, back to what Christ had to do for us and had come to do for us. I can only imagine the kinds of challenges that the Ephesian Christians had in raising their children. Just like us today, this is a tough thing. It's a difficult, challenging thing. Talk to your own parents about that. A wicked world that is all around us. And here we are in a country where Christianity is actually quite well known and highly practiced and rarely physically persecuted, at least in our day and age. But quite a contrast to what it must have been like in Ephesus. The city of Ephesus was the central hub for the worship of the goddess Diana. And we know from the book of Acts that this had become even a lucrative business for the city. And it was challenging now for those who loved Christ and wanted to worship him, and those who proclaimed his word, it was challenging for them to live in this society where they were often being threatened. At one point, we even hear that a riot broke out against the church. But St. Paul writes again to these Ephesian Christians, to these believers, "You fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." Notice how crucial, especially, the role of the father is. Don't stir up wrath in your children, God says. When you approach them and talk to them, and yes, there are times we have to chastise our children, but do it in such a way that we still keep the love of Christ in the forefront and foremost in that relationship. I remember my father used to say to us as children, "There are many things with which you can negotiate with me, but going to church is non-negotiable. That's one thing I will not let you negotiate with me about." And he used to say this, that God has not given me the responsibility of creating faith in your heart. That's up to the power of the Holy Spirit. But he has given me the responsibility of placing you at the feet of Christ and his word where that can take place. Where that word of Christ is brought to bear in the lives of little children, causing them to see, as in all of us, that it takes away any dependence we might have on ourselves for our hope of heaven, and placing instead before us the cross of Christ and what he's done for us. This is where the power of God can work on the heart to create faith and nurture and sustain faith. There's some interesting words that Paul uses here to the Ephesians. He says, "Bring your children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." In a sense, what he's saying is, apply law and gospel. The gospel that nurtures faith, admonition that has to point out sin and demonstrate where we have sinned, bringing us back again to that great comfort of Christ. It's amazing what impact a father can have potentially on generations to come below him. We often talk about family trees. And if you've ever seen a tree that has a big dead large branch on it, all of the branches off of it are dead as well. And that is such a visual picture of what can happen in the spiritual realm, likewise, when it comes to a family where maybe the father or a grandfather really didn't care about Christ and his word. It can have a devastating, rippling impact down on future generations. Listen to what Martin Luther said to families and to parents. Married people should know that they can perform no better and no more useful work for God, Christianity, the world, themselves, and their children than by bringing up their children well. Pilgrimages to Rome or Jerusalem, building churches, or whatever else the work may be called, is nothing in comparison with the right training of children. For that is the straight road to heaven, and it cannot be more easily attained in any other way. One of the things as a parent that is so important to understand is the concept of modeling our need for Christ before our children, that they see how desperately we need his grace and forgiveness for our hope of heaven. And someday, if the Lord puts you in that situation, may he give you that wisdom to understand that role as well, that they may, your children may look at you as a model of someone who needs Christ and loves and clings to his grace and forgiveness for the hope of salvation. A middle-aged man in a congregation I was serving came up to me after a Bible class once that dealt with parenting and so on. And he said, "Somebody taught me this years ago," and he had a string in his pocket. And he took it out and he said, "You're supposed to think of your role dealing with your children like a connection between you and them with a string. You can't push somebody with a string, but you can pull them and cause them to lead and follow you." And what he meant by that was that your child needs to see how desperately you need God's forgiveness and grace and your love for his word. And in so doing, that will cause your child then to follow along. Should the Lord bless you someday with being in the role of a parent, may he give you the gift of faith to establish your home as a little heavenly sanctuary from the world, where your children can be protected from the reach of the devil through involvement in the Word of God. I was very blessed to have this in my childhood. I appreciated it when I was in college. I really appreciated it as I got older. I really appreciated more and more and have grown in greater appreciation. My parents did a lot of wonderful things for me in my life and made a lot of sacrifices for me, but none of them was as great as the gift of passing on the precious knowledge of Christ into my life. And I just can't imagine how grateful I'm going to feel to them someday when I reach the fulfillment of that by God's grace in the mansions above. Amen. Please rise as we join in the versicle and canticle of the Nunc Dimittis.
Let my prayers rise before you as incense.